mine and yours. And you don't want no pressure, what but a backup and withdrawal. Cause trust me when I tell you, you don't want that you can claw. And you don't want to see inside of my... Chapter 18. Dawn. Amaya could see it in the light filtering through the window shades. Hear it in the quiet grumble of Zuko getting breakfast started. Feel it as Mushi yawned and stretched beside her, warm as the hot rocks wrapped in blankets on her other side. Good morning, Mushi said politely, eyes sleepily half open. Are you warm enough? If I were any warmer, I'd be in a sauna, Amaya stated crisply. What was he up to? He'd always behaved like a perfect gentleman in the past, and she couldn't have fallen through a winter-frozen lake last night. Memory crashed like an ice shelf into the sea, and she shivered. No, no! It is over, Amaya. Brave lady, it is over. He caught her hands before she could push away, giving her an intent look. You saved Agent Bon, you know. I tried to kill him. You sheathed him in ice, Mushi said bluntly. He held on long enough for us to revive him. So you did save him. It's not enough, Amaya whispered. Yunsu, an agent whose name she'd never known, they were dead because she hadn't been fast enough, wise enough, strong enough. It never is, Mushi said quietly, sitting up. Evil comes, and we do our best to defy it. But always there is a loss. He regarded her gravely. That is the cost of courage. To face evil, because if you did not, more lives would be shattered. Courage scars us all, Amaya. My nephew's is simply more visible than most. Amaya swallowed and tried again. I hurt inside. I know. I want to hurt something else, she admitted, ashamed. But it's already dead, and I know everyone was doing their best to find it, and speak the truth. Zuko fought it off. My nephew is a firebender, Mushi said bluntly. He could raise fire in his very veins to beat it back. And even so, he says it was too close. Sometimes all our training and power fails us. He released her hands and gestured toward the kitchen. But when we have fallen and the battle has passed, that is when we must cling most tightly to hope and find the courage to reach out to our friends, for the truest will come to us and help us stand again. He means it. Tears threatened. She'd been so cold and alone. And he was still the same sun-warm rock she could rely on. Faithful and kind. And still, there was that glint of mischief in green eyes. Playful and not quite innocent. Amaya lifted her chin. Get out of here and let a respectable lady dress in peace. Mushi snapped his fingers, obviously disappointed, grinned at her, bowed, and departed. Reprobate, she murmured, not unkindly. It wasn't the best breakfast she'd ever had, but it was warm and filling, overall much better than she'd expected. Huojin wasn't sure either of you could cook, Amaya remarked, and wished she dared pound her head on the table. Not as rested as I thought. Zuko snorted, humor dancing in his eyes. Mushi chuckled. I did enjoy having a cook in the past, he admitted. But after I came home from campaign once half dead from bad food, my late wife insisted I learn, in self-defense. And so I later taught our son and my nephew. She was a brave woman, my Natsu. Not everyone dares to unleash a proud soldier on a kitchen. Amaya had to smile, imagining that indignant young soldier. I would have liked to have met her. Me too, Zuko said softly. If Mom had been there. Mushi rested a hand on his nephew's wrist. Your mother was only a child herself then, and Shidan and Lady Kotone avoided the capital as much as they could. With good cause. Do not take guilt for what was. Focus on what is. Words that cleansed and stung at once, like salt on wounds. Amaya sucked in a breath. The children, down the stairs. We didn't go there. Zuko inhaled the rest of his breakfast, rinsing out his bowl in a hurry. I'll go. Tell me what I'm looking for. Are they going to be hurt? Amaya winced. It's Jet. What? For once, Huojin heard Lee coming before he saw him. Idiotic, obsessed, isn't going to take anything less than maiming as a hint. Wouldn't want to be on the other end of that, the guard reflected. Mean again? He asked, straightening from where he'd been officiously leaning against the wall beside the clinic door. You're early. Dropping his voice as the young man neared, he nodded towards inside. Is Amaya all right? Headquarters got orders to post a guard, but not go in. She's shaken up. She's tough. Lee took a deep breath and reached for the door. It's gonna be ugly. What happened? Huojin wanted to ask, but bit his tongue. If Lee could have told him on the street, he would have. So he touched his sword and followed instead. Blood and death. Faint, but you could taste it if you knew the air. Huh, Lee muttered to himself. They cleaned. Cleaned? Huojin said uneasily, following Lee to a slight stain beside the screen to the garden. If that wasn't faint traces of blood splatter, he'd retire to carve wooden tops. What happened? You're not gonna like it. You're right, I don't, Huojin decided as they quickly searched the clinic's upper level, while Lee recounted the mad events of last night. Spirits that could take over benders. Brrr. And he just knew Lee had downplayed how much danger he'd been in. I made it mad until it jumped into the maze. Sure. But Amaya is still alive? She'll be okay. She just needs time. Lee smiled faintly. Uncle's taking her to work. Hot tea, friendly customers. Ahaima Jiao couldn't get her there if it tried. But it's dead, right? For the shock? Amaya's mind might know it was dead. If this was anything like a more ordinary assault, her body and spirit would take a lot more convincing. So what are we really looking for? Given that Dai Li had apparently clung to their usual mysterious ways and tried to eliminate any sign that something had happened here. Something I don't think I'll find. Lighting a lamp, Lee led the way below ground and sighed. Rounding the last corner of the stairs himself, Huojin regarded the empty room. No one's here. Not anymore. Lee shook his head. Jet, Smeller, be in long shot. The Dai Li had them here for questioning. He looked down, shoulders slumped. I didn't look down here last night. Neither of us did. We were trying to save Amaya. Sometimes things don't work out, Huojin admitted. Lee, I know you're used to being responsible for people. We feel that way in the guard, too. But when your back's against a wall and someone you rely on is in trouble, you do the best you can with what you know and where you are. You're alive. Amaya's alive. The Haima Jiao isn't going to kill anyone else. He crossed his arms and gave Lee a sidelong glance. So chin up. Take a deep breath and keep moving. You pulled off a damn miracle last night. Stop whining because you're not perfect. Lee gave him an angry look that slowly melted into embarrassment. Was I whining? Huojin lifted a hand. rubbed thumb and forefinger together. Just a little. Sorry, Lee shrugged, still a little red. I feel bad about really only feeling upset because I'll have to tell Amaya.
Yeah, well, good riddance,
Huojin said darkly. I warned them, you warned them, Amaya warned them, and you warned them again. You can't save all the idiots from themselves. He shrugged, deliberately. So you're handling the clinic today? At least the emergencies. Lee nodded. Closing early, though. Don't want her to worry where I am after dark. I'll leave word at headquarters where to find you if we need you. Huojin nodded. The guard already had their apartment marked down, just in case. You can get a message to the Dai Li?
We can,
Huojin agreed warily. Good. Looking a little more determined, Lee headed for the stairs. I want to make sure Agent Xirong didn't slip through the cracks just because we all think he's better. He cast a faint smile over his shoulder. And do you know where in the market I can find some hickory wood, powdered sugar, and grape acid?
What for?
Huojin asked, beyond confused. You never had smoke sugar when you were a kid?
Well, yeah, I think so, but you know how to make it?
Sweet tooth, Lee admitted, shamelessly, grinning. Mom showed me how a long time ago, before a lot of things. He shook off the gloom. You want the recipe?
Oh, did he ever?
You work for that man. Amaya shook her head as they walked back up to Mushi's apartment through afternoon shadows.
There's no shame in honest work, her host proclaimed, and tea lightens the cares of those who visit us. Though it never does seem to work on my nephew, he mused.
There's only so much warm drink can handle, Amaya pointed out wryly. How long do you intend to put me up when I have a perfectly good home to go to? I hadn't realized what a cheapskate pow is. The small fees Zuko was entitled to as an apprentice were more important than she'd realized.
Until you feel ready to face the violence that occurred within that home, Mushi said plainly, opening their door and bowing her in. Or at least so long as you are willing to allow us this kindness. It is what friends do for one another, and a small enough recompense for the harm we did you unknowing.
Harm? Amaya frowned as he closed and latched the door. Mushi sighed and gestured toward the table. Tea? He said hopefully. She lifted a brow, still standing. An explanation first. He inclined his head. As you wish.
You told me it was dangerous for a young waterbender to live with so little family. I failed to consider it might be as perilous for you, even though you are well-trained. And so I turned away your offer of family, without explanation.
You said it was dangerous, Amaya pointed out.
It is, Mushi acknowledged. But we nearly lost you, and that would have been horrible to bear.
He sighed.
So, in trying to protect you, I did you harm. It seems a custom of my family. I would mend that harm in some small way, so that you may know what it is you risk now, rather than wait until we must flee Ba Sing Se for Jinhai's sake, or our own.
He lowered his voice.
With the Haima Jiao gone, we are no longer watched. It is safe to speak of such things, if you wish.
Her breath caught. He was offering one of the things she valued most in the world. Truth. And yet... Don't tell me just because you feel you've wronged me. You haven't.
It is more than that, Mushi said firmly. You are dear to me, Lady Amaya. Were I another man, I would have hopes. But I would. At least, have no lies between us. That much comfort I would claim. He drew a breath and met her gaze. I am Iroh, son of Fire Lady Ela and Fire Lord Azulon. For a long moment, the words didn't make sense. Couldn't make sense. Azulon, son of Sozin, the Fire Lord, who'd begun a century of war. Azulon, the name she and everyone she knew had grown up cursing for his failed assault on the North Pole and his merciless decimation of the Southern Water Tribe. And Iroh was another name to conjure nightmares. Crown Prince, before Ozai took the throne. Ruthless general and firebender beyond compare, who had conquered his way across half the Earth Kingdom and held Ba Sing Se under siege for 600 days. The Dragon of the West. You can't be, Amaya whispered, gaze sweeping frantically across the kind, gentle man in Earth Kingdom green. Warm hands, a shoulder to lean on, gentle correction when his nephew needed it most. Zuko. If his brother is Zuko's father, then... Her mind shied from the thought. You're a tea maker. You can't be General Iroh. Retired, Iroh said gently, and smiled sadly. I have always taken comfort in tea. You can't be, Amaya insisted, panic and hurt and anger mixing together like foaming wine. Not Sozin's blood, not... Words failed her. The source of all evil in the world, Iroh said wryly. I have heard us called that before. And yes, Sozin was evil. Not because he meant to be. Because he believed that he alone knew how to remake the world into perfection, and set out to do so, even if he must murder an entire race. Iroh sighed. I did not realize that he was evil, not when I knew him, when I was still a young man. To me, he was grandfather and Fire Lord, the ultimate power in our land. If he had started a war, he must be in the right. He shook his head. Looking into memory. It was only with time and great pain that I learned how wrong he was. That the beauty, the very hope of the world, lies in the fact that it is not perfect. And we must find ways to cherish what is good in it, despite that. For reshape the world as we will, none of us is perfect. And if we cannot love one who is flawed, love itself will die. As my brothers died, for all of us. I was too kind. Ursa was too gentle. Zuko was too weak, with no desire for power. We were human, and so we failed my brother. They failed Fire Lord Ozai. And hadn't she hoped for that? That all of the Fire Nation would fail and the war finally be over? And yet, you are the war, Amaya whispered brokenly. I was, Iroh admitted, unflinching. But when we broke the outer wall and invaded, I lost much. Good men, far too many good men, including my son, Lu Ten. I was horrified, near mad with grief. He was all I had left. Or so I thought. But I was also an officer in command, the Dragon of the West. I had to think of my men and of the Fire Nation. Terrain, numbers, morale. The Earthbender's advantage was too great to overcome without losses that would devastate my troops. Only slaughter or treachery would bring Ba Sing Se down, and I did not wish either. So I ordered the siege ended, our troops withdrawn. Against all orders Azulon had given. He hesitated. I did not expect to survive that order. A firebender, breaking loyalty. Amaya shivered. Once I recovered, I expected to be executed for treason. But events spared me. Now I would end the war if I could. But more than that, I wish the boy I have raised as a son to survive. Iroh spread empty hands. Now you know the truth of us, and what you risk by allying with my brother's outcast kin. And you must decide if we are worth it.
You, Amaya breathed, voice gradually rising. You reckless impossible. Twi and La, he is definitely your nephew. You're both utterly insane.
It took at least 5 minutes of yelling for her to figure out Iroh had preemptively vaporized all the water in the apartment. But that was all right. Zuko could draw water out of wet sand. And where, exactly, did his uncle think he'd learned that little trick? Air was harder to draw from than a lake-damp shore, but not by much. Over the course of 16 years, especially over the past few months, Zuko had cultivated an intuitive sense for when things were about to blow up. It was the little details, mostly. A certain glint in Azula's eye, a scuff of a boot too close in an alley, a tremble of earth that ought to be solid. And sometimes, it was not so little things. Zhao, the hunch of the Avatar's shoulders before he turned with mad, glowing eyes. Or, like now, a half-dozen fellow dwellers on his floor at the far end of the corridor from Uncle's apartment, splitting upset looks between each other and the faint sounds of Amaya yelling.
You're here? The landlord pushed his way to the front, glaring at Zuko. You are not supposed to be here. Water's frozen all over the place. How can it be freezing in here when you just got here?
Because I didn't do it? Zuko glared back. I'm not the only waterbender in the city.
Well, you're the one who lives in this building. The landlord pointed an imperious finger. Fix this.
I am not going to feed him his finger.
Lee's impulse, born of the tribe's historical feuds, more than a little startling, when he was far more used to the glass razor insults or explosive lethal violence of Fire Nation politics.
Make an enemy maim himself. Yeah, that's Water Tribe.
Well, he was not going to do that, no matter how tempting. But he couldn't let this pass, either. Lee was Amaya's apprentice. What he did reflected on her, and not even the Dai Li ordered Amaya around. Zuko drew himself up to his full height and stared the landlord straight in the eye. Not overtly threatening. Not yet. Beads of sweat broke out on the man's forehead, and he blinked first.
Please?
Give me some time. Warily, Zuko approached his own door, knocked, and opened it. Master Amaya, there's ice all through the building. The room wasn't quite as much of a wreck as he'd feared. Chairs were upended. Amaya was panting hoarsely, stance firm as a winter-locked lake. Ice. Uncle in the middle of the ice, which made him want to throw weeks of caution into the wind and do something.
Okay, there is something I can do.
What do you want me to do with the witnesses? Zuko deadpanned. Amaya flushed, mortified, seeing curious faces edge near in the hall. Uncle Iroh tried not to snicker. Much.
We'll straighten this out, Zuko said to the hallway at large, and firmly closed the door.
Waited a minute, and turned around.
Nobody's dead. Good.
Uncle was still a bit damp, and Master Amaya more than a little pink, and neither of them were quite looking at each other. In a way that raised the hairs on the back of Zuko's neck.
No, no, not good. What do I do? Where do I hide? I should have kept quiet. They know I'm here.
Panic and exhaustion and two people he cared about were fighting, which meant it was his fault. Again.
Thank Agni for windows.
He won't come down?
Not yet, no. Iroh sighed,
picking up the last of the groceries Zuko had dropped in his sudden flight, raising a brow at some of what he'd found.
"So you meant for us to celebrate? It appears I have unfortunate timing."
"He's a teenage boy who hasn't had supper," Amaya said confidently. "He will." Gave Iroh a second look at his silence.
"Won't he?"
"He is quite capable of remaining up there for days, only venturing down to carry out his duties as he has given his word to do," Iroh said unhappily,
caught her frown, and sighed.
"It is not defiance, I think."
Comprehension dawned, and Amaya winced.
"His parents fought."
"Not at first," Iroh clarified. "But as my nephew passed 4, yes, often."
He hesitated.
"You have seen this before?"
"More than I like to think," Amaya admitted. "And it is defiance, of a sort. You can hurt each other, you can scare me to death, but you can't make me watch."
She sighed herself.
"Parents can't hurt what they can't catch. I would say Lee's been teaching himself not to get caught for a very long time."
It cut to the bone.
"I should have seen.
Children are good at hiding things. They want their parents to be all right, no matter what."
She touched his shoulder.
"It's odd, but this almost tells me more about the war than anything else."
Iroh raised a curious brow.
"Sozin destroyed an entire nation to shape the world the way he wanted it," Amaya said quietly. "How much more harm did he do to his own people?"
"I have made my own choices to fight and to stop," Iroh said plainly. "As must we all. Though I have hopes that our plan will show our people another way forward."
He felt a flicker of fire and breathed a quiet sigh of relief.
"I apologize, nephew."
"Uncle?"
Zuko slipped back in through the window, still wary.
"You don't. I should have known it wasn't what I thought."
"How?" Amaya said practically. "From what your uncle and Huojin have told me, you've never lived around people who just have normal arguments."
"No, not really."
Zuko looked between them both, tension easing a little.
Was it something I did?"
"No,"
Iroh said firmly, heartened. Courage in battle. Zuko had plenty. Courage to face the ghosts of his past and coming back. His nephew was healing.
"It was merely between us. Explanations long overdue."
He gripped Zuko's shoulder slightly.
"Come, dinner. And I see you have the makings of smoke sugar. A fine treat."
"Smoke sugar?" Amaya asked, curious.
"After dinner," Iroh assured her. "My nephew has a light touch with the bubbles."
"Bubbles?"
Iroh grinned at her and smiled again later, enjoying the warmth of company as Amaya crunched into her first translucent bubble of brown sugar, filled with a savory gray hickory smoke.
"For life is sweet and fragile and always spiced with surprise,"
Iroh thought, enjoying his own silvery gray globes.
"Especially for children of fire."
He waited until Zuko was about to bite into his third to deadpan.
"She knows who we are."
Crunch. Choking on inhaled smoke, Zuko gave him a glare that could have set ice on fire.
"It explains a great deal," Amaya noted gently. "I couldn't understand why you were both so sure the Fire Nation's time was nearing an end."
She laid her hand on the table near Zuko's, almost touching.
"But if the Crown Prince is a waterbender..."
Zuko looked down and swallowed.
"The Fire Lord is cruel."
A breath.
"But Azula, my sister, is insane."
He glanced up at Amaya, green eyes pleading. If we can do this, if we can show you can live without following the Fire Lord, there are great names who won't pledge loyalty to her. And if they can do that, if they can look after their people and get them out of the war, if the Avatar is supposed to be about balance, then he can't destroy all of the Fire Nation. It'd be tactically sound for him to spare the non-combatants. It'd be the smart thing to do.
Unfortunately, the Avatar is 12 and an airbender devoted to peace,
Iroh said gravely.
So we do not know if he will find wisdom in time, or listen to those who know war. We can only hope and prepare.
I can see how that would work for the future, Amaya allowed. But here and now?
You can't give a traitor orders, Zuko said harshly. I gave my word to capture the Avatar, but he's not here.
He took a deep breath. I don't know, Master Amaya. I don't know. I'm here. My people are here. I'm going to do everything I can, but when I make plans, things happen. Things go wrong. Anyway, I'm just going to try as long as I can.
Which is all anyone can ask, Iroh said firmly. Do not dwell on it, nephew. We have all had very trying days. I am certain all will look brighter once we've had some rest.
I know I'll feel more at ease when I've had the chance to check Shirong for myself, Amaya said gravely, if he'll allow me. He knows it wasn't your fault, Zuko said soberly. She arched a skeptical brow. As you do about the Avatar?
Oh, no. Iroh stepped in before blood could be drawn. I saw the boy let the ocean take him. That was definitely Avatar Aang's fault. He humphed. One would think a bender trained under Monk Gyatso, one of the most legendary airbending masters, would have been more wary of the spirits.
He probably thought he could make friends with it, Zuko griped. How do you know that about Gyatso? I've never heard anything about legendary airbending masters.
There are sources of information the Fire Lord would not approve of, Iroh said practically. Once I had a name, I could make inquiries, none of which yielded information that would have helped in our chase, he added at Zuko's dark look. But I was curious, especially when I found he counted Avatar Roku among his truest friends.
Can you tell me about him? Zuko didn't squirm under his gaze, though he did redden. He thought I was someone else. I just want to know who.
Iroh hit a chuckle. Ah, well, if I were to guess, it is likely he thought you were your mother's grandfather.
He shrugged.
The records I have seen say nothing of Kuzan knowing Aang, but there is a mention of Gyatso.
Being a spirit must give you lousy eyesight, Zuko grumbled. Do I look a century old?
Glancing at Amaya, he tensed and made himself relax.
So, you look like you need to talk a little more. So just call me off the roof when you're done.
That swiftly, he was gone again.
Iroh raised a brow at the healer. You're hiding something, she said levelly.
A suspicion only, he admitted. I cannot see that it would make any difference.
Iroh?
Ah, how sweet to hear his real name from such a vision of beauty and courage. Was that a snowball in her hands? I do not think it would help my nephew to know, Iroh answered, sensing for fire to be certain that his nephew was out of earshot. I have no proof. And I can think of none that would prove such wild fancies, truly.
Tell me.
Iroh sighed. When Zuko was in the spirit world, he looked for Kuzan for aid. A wise move. They were kin, even though they had never met. For Kuzan died before my nephew was born. And I later learned it was not a natural death, though he was 98. He was a strong firebender, and I would not have been surprised if he had reached Sozin's age. But he was on Azulon's list.
Iroh paused.
Zuko looked, but he did not find. And it has been my experience that spirits know precisely whom they are speaking to.
Amaya let her snowball melt back into her cup.
I can see why you don't want to tell him.
Do you? Iroh asked quietly. My nephew has been so lonely, so full of pain. Shall I tell him that once he had family who loved him truly, and joy, and a life of peace? Shall I tell him that the Avatar was granted Gyatso as a friend and mentor in two lives, yet the spirit who was once Aang's friend is now counted among his enemies?
He shook his head.
My nephew has reason enough to resent fate's blows. There is no reason to add more.
Amaya nodded. Will you ever tell him?
When the time is right.
When Zuko knew enough of the White Lotus to know why they existed, and why they had not acted before.
Another, more deliberate nod.
Are you hiding anything else?
Much, Iroh answered honestly. But nothing else that bears on here and now.
So you say? Standing, Amaya folded her arms and gave him a measuring look.
You don't have enough family. One nephew can't keep you honest.
Iroh kept a curious look on his face as he tried to decipher that inscrutable look.
I have been hoping he would find a nice girl, but there was Jet's interference to consider, and we've been very busy.
He's not the one who needs a nice girl.
Blue Eyes danced.
Though I don't think I've been nice for a few decades.
Slowly, Iroh smiled. He did remember to tell Zuko it was safe to come back down. Later.